handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I am your host, J.L. Covan. It is noon on Monday, December 20th in the year of our Lord, 2021. I am coming off a fresh 4 hours of sleep last night because I was traveling back from Washington, D.C. after a mostly successful, very pleasing trip to Washington, D.C. I'm going to spare you the details because I spent about 2 hours writing the recap blog between the train ride home last night and this morning, running on very little sleep, but I had to get home because I have a job that pays me inconsistent paychecks and health benefits. So had to get home for that. I wanted to stay over Sunday night, hang out with the fans that showed up, and then just leisurely take like a nice morning Acela back, have some breakfast in the first class car, coupon upgrade, not actually paying for first class. And but just, you know, that constant fear of losing a day job is a powerful motivation, because on the other side of it is comedy, which is an abyss of occasional joy and mostly despair. Anyway, we're in a good mood today. No, we are in a good mood. It was really, anybody who's listening to this, and hopefully it's more than just a few of you, thank you so much for coming out in D.C. A few sellouts, mostly packed crowds, but the Friday late and the Sunday were lightly attended. But overall, I think it was a successful week in many ways. And I tipped the waiter. Like, he only had to get me one meal, but I had him hook up a couple of people for me. And I think I tipped him well enough because he was the only one who asked me, when are you coming back? And that's, you know what? That's it's the same way that I donate to a lot of charities, and I've gotten to the point in my life where the only people I get Christmas cards from are the charities I donate, but it still feels good. It almost feels like you have friends. Shout out to my good friend, Pat Breslin, who does still send me Christmas cards with his delightful-looking children, who look like, what's funny about my friend Pat, I don't know if he listens to it, he might occasionally, but his children, I've always joked, they look like Wahlbergs. They look like little Marky Marks. And if you look at him and his wife, my friend Pat and his wife, which you won't, but I'm just telling you, it makes perfect sense. Like, they look like they would combine to form a Wahlberg. So I always find it funny, but very cute kids, very nice kids. So I get a picture of them and a card every year from Pat. So Pat's still my friend. But most of my Christmas cards are now just charities saying, thank you so much for donating generously this year. And you know what? You know, I love being an influential philanthropist. But although seriously, this is the first year I actually like basically tithed this year. That's how much I gave to charity. I went over the 10% mark of income to charity because, you know, like I've always said, if you can't feel good about yourself, try to make somebody else feel good. I feel like that's the entire basis of the stand-up comedy. Well, now it's not. Now it's more about I want a brand and success and I don't want a real job. It feels like there's a lot of people in that game. But real comedians, I think it's just about delivering joy for others. Like if Santa Claus was a miserable fuck but still delivered presents to everybody, that's kind of the same ethos as a stand-up comedian. Ho, 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 fuck my life, but here are some gifts. That's J.L. Claus. How about that? I don't know if you can hear that, but the Righteous Girlfriend is beating up chicken to prepare for cooking, probably just imagining it's me talking about comedy again. But anyway, I don't know if you heard that, but it sounded like there was construction going on in my... She has a unique strength to her. I've always said she's unlike me in that she's very calm, very calm, very even keel. I joked with my friend yesterday. I said, we balance each other out. I'm an angry, selfish asshole, and she's not. And, you know, we really balance each other out that way. But then sometimes you have to worry, like, well, you know, that is a balance technically, but maybe it shouldn't just be about balancing your negative traits. Anyway, what was I talking about? Santa Claus, that was funny. I don't know. Once again, not afraid of losing track. But so go read the blog. The blog is up. It took a lot of time to write it, but it's a very detailed recap of my time in D.C. So it'll be a fun read if you've got, like, you know, I try to be the New Yorker of comedy blogs. It's like, do you have 9 hours to read an enlightening journey into the world of road comedy? Then you might enjoy this. So I saw two movies this weekend. They will be reviewed for anybody who is a Making Podcast Great Again fan. They will be reviewed on the Patreon. Donald Trump will review the new Spider-Man film, and Mike Pence will review West Side Story. And both movies were good, but I'm, as I say in the blog, Spider-Man, as much as I'm like a hater, I reluctantly saw, because I love the first two, I love the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 1 and 2 from like 02 and 04 or whatever years they came out. I think those are two of the best comic book movies ever. I love them. I own them. And so I didn't even bother with the, like, I saw the first Andrew Garfield one and then like didn't like it at all. It was like, this was unnecessary and not that enjoyable. So I skipped the second one. I've still never seen the second Andrew Garfield one. And so then I was like, oh God, they're rebooting it again? You know, but I understood they wanted to get, you know, Marvel is now this monstrous, like, juggernaut. So they, you know, Spider-Man's obviously a very huge property that they wanted to incorporate. So I reluctantly saw the first Tom Holland one, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome. So that's only like 4 years ago. So it's not like I've been on this, like, fuck Marvel, bro. I just feel like it's run its course for me. You know, it's like, okay, I've seen, you know, three shows, 79 movies in the last 13 years. I'm good now. I think Disney Plus is where I'm going to sort of really do my Marvel viewing, because I feel like that's the only energy I want to expend on Marvel anymore. So that's not me saying I won't watch them, but I didn't enjoy the new one, and I'm not even, it wasn't bad. I'm not, that's what sometimes people like, I've exhausted my sense of like nostalgia and wonder at like, oh, Marvel. Oh, I remember though. Like, it doesn't do it for me anymore. So the movie has to be, that's why I thought the first Spider-Man with Tom Holland was just excellent, like an excellent movie. And it didn't hurt having such a great actor like Michael Keaton in the role, like a very good, well-rounded villain role. This movie felt more like, you know, just an if you like it, you like it. That's fine. But for me, I'm not going to be leaving the theater going, one of the greatest movies ever, A+. Anybody want to ask me my review? A+. It felt more like a nostalgia fest for things that were relatively recent. Like, do you remember when Andrew Garfield was Spider-Man 7 years ago? It's like, yes, I do. And nobody liked it. And yet we're all cheering in the theater like, yes, that's the Spider-Man I thought sucked. He's here. Yay. And then there was like a quote-unquote emotional part in the middle of the Spider-Man movie. and the 11-year-old next to me began weeping, and it felt very performative. I know that's a bold accusation to accuse, like, a child of kind of playing it up, but in this day of social media and selfies and exploiting your children for likes on social media, it felt very manufactured. Like, he was, like, really sniffling, and he was like... And then later in the movie, I heard him, like, lean over to either his brother or his mom, because it was, like, him, a sibling, and then the mom. And he said something like, "That made me cry." Like, it was like, "Yeah, we heard you. Why are you letting us know?" Like, I wanted to call him out, because I feel like 11 is sure, you can't be convicted of a crime yet, but you can be convicted in the court of JL opinion of being a performative little bitch. And that's what the verdict would have been. And he kept talking during the movie. So he was really kind of rough. He kicked me 4 times because he was like too like he was chubby. So his like leg kept sliding off the recliner and kicking me. And I let it go twice. But the third time I said, "Excuse me." And he said, "Sorry." But then it happened again. And then he said, "Sorry" again. And then I actually felt bad. This is my life, folks. I stand angrily and proudly for what is right. But because I'm a giant with angry eyebrows, I tend to scare people into being polite, which I don't like. I want you to be polite because being polite is the right thing to do. And the kid said sorry. He said sorry twice. So like I but then the way he said sorry the second time, it felt like he thought I was gonna like beat him or do something wrong. And I'm not like a serious bit, but just like I was like, "Sorry." And that's not the sorry of somebody like, "Oh, I did something wrong." That's the sorry of, "Giant man, please don't hurt me." And I'm just like, that doesn't make me feel good either. Can everybody just do the right thing because it's the right thing, not because I'm a big angry person? But anyway, Spider-Man No End in Sight, as I'm calling it, was a long movie. You know, I like Tom Holland and Zendaya. I think they're pleasant and have talent. You know, there was nothing wrong with the movie. But I just didn't, and at the end of the movie, they sort of hint at doing something really big, and then it's not. Like, I'm just gonna say, "Oh, it was just an injury," even though you sort of made it look like it was, like, fatal. "Oh, it was just an injury. Oh, good. Okay, good. I thought you were really gonna do something that might actually upset people, and not just this chubby, apologetic kid next to me." But I would give it, the thing is, on technical merits, as like how the movie was made, I'd be like, "Oh, this was like a, you know, an A-, in terms of like, yes, it was a well-executed comic book movie." But for my enjoyment, I was like B-, because I was like, I really felt like I wish I had just waited for Disney Plus. It wasn't that I was like, I wish I'd never seen it, but I was like, you know, this is a rare day of rest for me, you know, I probably would have been happier in a Starbucks, eating a cookie, drinking a tea, and reading. So that would be my review of that. West Side Story was very well done. Although I was watching it, for anybody who's seen it, all I kept thinking, you know, Maria is like the main woman, and her brother's girlfriend is Anita. And all I kept thinking was, I would push Maria in front of a train to get to Anita. yeah, I was just sort of fixated on Anita every time she was on screen. I enjoyed her. Ansel Elgort, whatever his name is, the dude from Baby Driver, who's the lead, he's Tony in this. He looks kind of like a tall, low-budget Val Kilmer. But that's still... Now, before you laugh at that, Val Kilmer in his prime was incredibly handsome, and had a lot of sex appeal. So I'm merely saying this guy's like 4/5 of a Val Kilmer. So that's actually a pretty good compliment, I think. But I find when, you know, I liked La La Land a lot. I'm not into like every musical, but I really enjoyed La La Land. I like all the big ones that have like been critiqued. Like Chicago was very good. I think it was very interesting and applicable, like the way it was sort of made in terms of like, you know, it's still applicable, sadly, today, the kind of old bitter community who feels like they haven't gotten their shake. Like there was a very transparent, without being heavy handed, I think there was a very clear parallel to sort of, yeah, angry white voters and like new arrivals who aren't white kind of thing. But I liked it. The thing is, I don't even know if it's a better movie than Spider-Man. Like I said, they're both well made, but I enjoyed West Side Story much more. So I would give West Side Story like the B plus as far as my full grade, because I was just like, yeah, it was, good tunes. Love Anita. And, it was like pleasant and well made. I don't think it's doing well at the box office or anything. And I don't know if I'm going to be seeing any movies live because Omicron and Delta are like tag teaming the country right now. And I will only cancel my Chicago, LA, San Jose, Utah trip if like it has to be canceled. Like if it comes to like venues are closing or something, then I'm not going to do it, obviously. But other than that, I refuse. I'm triple vaxxed, and this is a trip that I am dying to do on so many levels, for vacation, for the jazz, for shows, for people who haven't, been able to see me in 2 years since like I sort of blew up. So yeah, obviously if venues cancel and stuff, then I have no choice, but I plan on maintaining those. But the gig that I'm not like wedded to is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, January 7th and 8th. First of all, we're 19 days from the shows, and they still, as far as yesterday, hadn't put up a ticket link. And I feel like I joked about this, I think, a week or two ago, but I'm like, I'm sorry I'm being such a diva, but it's, we're under 20 days to my show and I have fans wanting to buy tickets. Any chance? And that's when you know you're dealing with kind of a shit outfit. Like, they don't care. Either they just comp tickets to the community or something, but I don't understand how you can have a comedy club and a performer has fans asking for tickets and you don't have a ticket link 19 days. I haven't checked today, to be honest, but let's just assume 19 days before the show. Like, so obviously you don't really care at all. And you're also in central Pennsylvania, which is like, Delta is like fucking running a train on central Pennsylvania. So, you factor all those in. Like, it's the thing working in Harrisburg's favor to me is it's a weekend. Like, it's a Friday night, Saturday night. So I don't have to use any vacation time. So it's all net. It's all net, that gig. Transportation's cheap to get there. And I get a hotel room. So it's like all, it's a no-brainer. It's like, it's the lowest hassle sort of gig that you could have, but you also start to be like, but are these shows going to be any good? Like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Like, what kind of like third rate shit operation is this? Like I said, I just don't think. I try not to bite the hand that feeds me, but it's like, you're not feeding me yet. We're 19 days away from the show. I've been asking for a month for a ticket link. Like, what gives? Also, your population is probably fat and MAGA and COVID infected. So that's also, when you factor all those things in, there's a chance I will just cancel. But I don't want to cancel, and I probably won't. But, if this shit keeps going, like, I'm not going into a fucking COVID den for people who couldn't put up a fucking ticket link 3 weeks in advance, let alone 2 months in advance. So that's an update. As far as the gigs, of course, the Diveshes, that's an old reference from a month or two ago. The ones you got to look for, obviously, if you're in Chicago, January 27th, big show. San Jose Improv, Chicago Improv, January 27th. San Jose Improv, February 2nd. Flappers in Burbank, February 6th. It's for all my Southern California people. For any of these shows, if you're listening, I know the fan base for this is like a fraction of what it is for Making Podcast Great Again, but you guys are much more hardcore fans. But if you are hearing this and you live in one of those cities or you have friends in one of those cities, don't hesitate to buy the tickets. Obviously, if the shows get canceled, you will be refunded, so it's not a threat of like wasting your money. But the more the ticket sales go up for all these shows in advance, the better it looks for me and the less pressure it puts on me as we approach the showtimes. And then Jordan Landing in Utah, just outside of Salt Lake City at Wise Guys, February 10th. So those are all fun, important, big shows for me. And then obviously I have my Showtime drama debut, that should be either February 20th or February 27th, depending on whether Beans takes off for the Super Bowl. And it's episode 5 of season 6. After that, we're just trying to sell half blackface. because obviously I know a lot of fans, especially the ones who listen to this, will of course, I think I'm safe in assuming, would go buy it or rent it, from an iTunes or whatever platform it ends up on. The goal is obviously to get it sold to a streamer, because then you can expand the fan base. Like, if I'm just selling it through iTunes, then it's going to be existing fans just putting a little bit of money in my pocket. But if it can get sold, first of all, that's probably more money in my pocket. And secondly, it will then expand my audience to people who either don't care for the impressions or don't know who I am and will see me as a stand-up. And I'm pretty convinced will really enjoy the shit out of what they see and find it to be quite the strong offering. So that's that. The only other thing is my mother is having surgery tomorrow. As well as you listen to this on Tuesday, my mother will be prepping for surgery. And we got in a bad news situation. We got the best possible version of bad news. So that was a major relief. And in a crazy, crazy thing, if that news had not been good, I went with my mom to the hospital for several scans, took the day off from work. And then the next day I really am busy at work, but my brother has, his own job and a son that requires, a lot of, vigilance and attention. So there was a chance that I would have to go in again, last, whatever it was, Wednesday or Thursday. But I also had a phone call with a DC radio station just to promote the shows at 2 p.m. So if I was going in, which the plan was for me to go in, I wouldn't have been able to get home in time to do like a quiet call in from my apartment. I would have had to either delay the call or, talk on the train or outside, which would obviously not be ideal for a radio show. Edited out something briefly there. I wasn't going to identify a person individually, but I just figured I sort of backtracked and said, nah, no need for that anyway. But the point is, my mom getting better than expected news had a trickle-down effect that could have impeded my ability to do the shows in an unrelated to my mother event. So now she gets surgery tomorrow. And I just think, you know, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it at all. But she is a combination of sort of lucky and tenacious. And it's just a crazy thing. My mom's health history. She's at this point, basically, she's the last survivor of her family. She's lived longer than anybody in her family. Her mother died young. Her father died, I believe, before I was born, 2 years before I was born. Her brother just died in 2020 of cancer. Her sister died young, in the 50s. Her older sister died at the age of 24 of cancer. And if all goes well, which all indicators are, you know, and her mother died of a gallbladder infection, which was, you know, in the 50s, that's a routine surgery, but it was an infection. And that's how she passed away, you know, when my mom was 9. But my mom throughout my life has literally sort of conquered everything that killed her family. She had gallbladder surgery when I was a teenager. And I remember sitting in the hospital with my dad going, why is mom so upset? Like, it was a kind of, you know, considered sort of a basic surgery. And that's when I learned, he was like, oh, that your mother, your mom's mom died from an infection, you know, during a gallbladder surgery. So my mom had that happen. Boom. Has had both knees replaced. She's like RoboCop. She didn't even tell me she had stage 1 cancer in when I was in law school. And she didn't even tell me, you know, that's her personality was like, I think my brother knew, but obviously I was in law school. So it was a lot of pressure. So I basically found out like when it was done, like I'm going to have surgery tomorrow, cancer, but it'll be fine. I guess she didn't want to worry me. And so she survived that. And because of this good news, it seems like, you know, so cancer killed her 2 siblings, and she seems like she's going to end up surviving 2 bouts with cancer. And I know that's stupid to say, knock on wood, but it's just, I feel, you know, you guys know me, all jokes aside, I'm a praying type. And I was like sort of saying, you know, I've been asking for a lot of comedy success recently, or at least just, you know, thy will be done. If I'm supposed to be doing comedy, could you give me a sign or give me some bigger opportunities? But also saying, and if it's not what I'm supposed to do, let's move on. Let's get some signs that, you know, maybe it's time to put my skills or efforts into something more meaningful or more helpful to the world. But I just was like, you know what? Forget comedy. Just take care of my mom. Let's get this done. Now, I don't know if that was selfish, like deep down inside, I also want to forget comedy. So that's like really more of a 2-for-1 prayer. Like, if you could take away the cancer, but also the thing that makes me miserable, but I'll pretend like it's a deep sacrifice, Lord, that would be great. But yeah, she's you know, I once asked my shrink, I was like, can people overcome illness if their attitudes are just defiant and strong? And she's like, well, you know, sometimes that can help. That can help to have a certain mindset and energy. And my mom's energy, if you think I'm negative, I mean, it comes from somewhere. But it also has been, she's also just a very tenacious fighter. And there have been a lot of examples, you know, a high school educated woman married to a Haitian immigrant in the 70s, managing to you know, put a kid through Williams College, Northwestern Journalism School, and Georgetown Law School, and have a $1 million pension and own her own home by the time she retires. At the time, well, she owned the home for a while, but you get my point. There is a certain tenacity that I think stems from her mother dying early. I think that is the, if there is one event that has shaped my family more than any other, it's that. Similar to how my mother is the most dominating force in my family, that comes from an early tragedy that I think just made my mom sort of think things are fleeting, things can't be depended on, so I have to do every effort to feel in control and to put things on a path that fate won't be strong enough to derail, as crazy as that sounds. And that's the way she's, I think, approached parenting and life. I wrote down a joke, not a joke, but just a statement when we were more scared, I think, of when the prognosis seemed not good at all a few weeks ago. I just thought of my mom and I said, you know, they always say, oh, you ever hear those stories of like, oh, the baby was trapped under the car and the mother found the strength to lift the car, these apocryphal stories. My mom sort of approaches motherhood like every day there's a baby trapped under a car, which can be extremely helpful and extremely tense. But, you know, I think it's obviously it's coincidence, but it feels more than coincidence that my mom has just been this rock that literally is surviving the things that took out the rest of her family. It's so, you know, I'll be reading a book and watching something on my tablet that I download from HBO Max while waiting in the hospital tomorrow. But yeah, if you're a praying type, say a prayer if you don't mind, if that's not too selfish or just good vibes. Don't you know, you can DM me on a platform or like, I'm putting this on the podcast, but there's no need for like a big outpouring on social media of like, what's wrong? What happened? But you know the story. You guys are the tried and true fans. So that's what's been going on. So just knock on wood for, you know, by the time you listen to this, she might already be in surgery, but we've gotten great news so far, as great as it can be when you're dealing with something not great. And, you know, I think whether that's prayers answered or just my mom's good fortune and tenacity, hopefully it's a reason to be very happy. You know, it's all cheesy, but like, you know, Christmas has become sort of a hassle for a lot of people, obviously. Most of us buy what we need. Anyway, so it becomes sort of like, what do you want? What do you need? And it's like, this was a real Christmas present. This was a real gift to get good news. So hopefully the good news continues, and it's a same day surgery. So, you know, hopefully Christmas is a great Christmas, and for a deeper reason than cool presents or something went up on a streaming platform. So that's it. That's the week. I guess that's the last time you'll hear from me before Christmas. So I think, I don't think I got too negative. It's really hard to be negative when something so big has seemingly turned positive. So everybody out there who listens to this podcast, if you're in DC for my shows, thank you very much. You are appreciated. Hopefully I can see some of those people at other shows. But in January, I'm going to start reaching out to a lot more clubs for like spring and summer dates, because I am having knee surgery on March 2nd. So that could sideline me from anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. And I won't 100% know until I'm already done with the surgery. But let's hope it's obviously the 2 weeks on a cane and not 6 weeks on crutches. But yeah, so I will be contacting a lot more clubs, but you know, as we all know, there's a couple of big things in the works for me, and depending on how those go, could really determine how far and where I go and how successful I can be in the next year or two. So big news, though, is mom, so that is, like I said, as negative as I can be. You can read the blog if you want to hear my ups and downs emotionally from my time in D.C., just jlcomedy.com. Just go to the blog. It's the most recent one, obviously. But yeah, I'm grateful. That's all you can really say is grateful. And I think that's obviously the best emotion maybe to have at this time of year. So everybody stay safe. Get boosted if you haven't gotten boosted. Let's not get Delta. Let's not get Omicron. Yeah, thanks for listening. And Merry Christmas if you celebrate, and I will see you next Tuesday.